HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Not everyone is happy with a just-completed 5-for-5 detainee swap between the U.S. and Iran. The deal calls for the return of billions of dollars to Iran. BBC Persia correspondent Bob Mancalbasi.
There are some Iranian Americans who are very critical of Biden administration for doing this, and they see it as giving too much away to the Iranian regime. But there are others who at the same time argue that bringing these Americans home should have been a priority, and they're glad their ordeal is over.
Iran will be limited in what it can spend the released money on. Automakers and the United Auto Workers are talking, but with no signs of a breakthrough, the union says it is ready to ramp up walkouts.
More negotiations between the United Auto Workers Union and the Big Three as workers picket at three Midwest plants. However, UAW President Sean Fain, in an online video, has announced that the union has set a Friday deadline for the companies to make significant headway on talks, or strikes will begin at even more facilities.
We're going to keep hitting the company where we need to, when we need to.
Workers are demanding from GM, Ford, and Stellantis better pay, pensions, a four-day work week, and more job protections. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
President Biden will address the opening session of the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday, says CBS's Bo Erickson.
President Biden is expected to underscore the importance of countries working together, including with developing nations in the Southern Hemisphere. Mr. Biden is also set to underscore human rights as Russia's war in Ukraine lingers. And later in the week, he'll meet for the third time with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House.
The leaders of Britain, France, and China will not be attending. The L.A. Sheriff's Department has released as arrested a 29-year-old man suspected of shooting and killing Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer as he sat in his patrol car Saturday night. CBS's Elise Preston has more.
The outpouring of sorrow has been immense. Klinkenbrumer, who just got engaged, had been with the Sheriff's Department for 8 years. Both his father and grandfather had also served as deputies.
An unprecedented strike by doctors is underway in Britain, says CBS's Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London.
It's the first coordinated strike by doctors at all levels of England's National Health Service, and it's leaving hospitals only able to provide Christmas Day levels of staffing for the next 4 days.
A company in Wisconsin is recalling about 58,000 pounds of ground beef sold in Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio because of possible E. coli contamination. Green Bay dressed beef produced the products in August. This is CBS.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
RPG came to the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five minutes.
Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Monday. It is my last Monday. My last Monday until, I think, like mid-December is when I'm coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll call it that.
It's very morbid at first. It's my last Monday.
Goodbye forever. No, just kidding. But this is the beginning of my last week on As Goes Wisconsin until I hand over the reins and have this baby. But Greg Bach, you're going to be here. You're going to take care of the ship.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be my baby for a while. And we'll take care of it.
And we're also still playing with the ability to do all of our stream yards and our tech and everything like that. So bear with us as we are still figuring that out. But we're very excited. We're very excited to have this be my last week. We have a very good show today that I'm excited about. We rescheduled Tanya Atkinson, who was supposed to be here on Friday, but she is the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. And today is the big day that as of today, both in Milwaukee and Madison, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is going to be resuming abortion services at the two clinics, the one on Water Street, the Water Street Health Center in Milwaukee and the Madison East Health Center in Madison. And so we're going to be talking to her about more of the details of that, what went into that decision, because the lawsuit is not settled. The lawsuit is still happening. And so basically, what does that mean as far as protections for the doctors, protections for people who are seeking abortions? And so we will talk all about that at 10:30 this morning with Tanya Atkinson. And then at 11, loyal listener calls in a fair amount, but first time guest.
Big fan.
We're a big fan of him. Joe McClear, elderly care lawyer who has called in when we've talked about this topic before. He was so knowledgeable since this is what he does for a living.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, why don't we schedule you to come back and actually talk about this at length? And so at 11, we're going to be talking to Joe McClear about the elderly care, long-term care crisis in Wisconsin, and also policy solutions that could be available if we advocate for them mm-hmm. with our lawmakers, but also shy of or the absence of any of those policy changes happening, what you need to know if you yourself are an aging person or, like so many of us, have aging parents and should be broaching these topics with our parents. So that's coming up at 11 with Joe McClear. And then we're going to have Tom Stillback, who is the president of the Wisconsin Tech Council. We're going to talk about some of the events that they have coming up. He wrote a new op-ed that came out this morning as far as how good is it? One of those things is like, how good is Wisconsin for small businesses? And it's, depending on what ranking you're looking at, you get very different answers. So we're going to talk about that. And then as of today, you can vote on the coolest things made in Wisconsin. And some of the things on that list, because the contest is from WMC.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And so they're obviously, it's things like that are made in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And some of them are very cool, but I think it's like, what's their definition of cool? Because some of them are also very functional, but not like boring.
It's functionally cool.
But voting on that starts today. So we're going to talk about that. But what I wanted to start with is this question. Who, when you think of the opioid crisis, who do you blame? 844-967-2789. Who do you blame when it comes to the opioid crisis? Because there's a new poll out. Like, for me, when I answer that question, I think of pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I think of the Sackler family. I think of doctors who overprescribed. And I don't know if it's because the term opioid, which I think is different than when I think about like what comes to mind when I think of fentanyl. But I saw that there was a new poll out. And shockingly, the Mexican drug cartels is who U.S. adults say is most responsible for the opioid crisis. And
yeah.
That shocked me.
I mean... Were they asking all of my uncles? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense, but the moment they explain it, it does make sense why they would say that.
So, because, and I would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. When you think of the opioid crisis, which has affected so many people, right? This is not something, this is something that has touched so many families. And I started watching Painkillers last night, or Painkiller last night, which is Netflix's Dope Sick, basically. And I've not watched Dope Sick. I want to go back and watch that because that one was nominated for a bunch of awards. But both are about the Sackler family. Both are about the rise of the opioid epidemic. But we started watching Painkiller last night, and I don't know how much is over dramatized for the sake of the show, but what they are doing is they follow one storyline of the actual Sacklers and their kind of what's the word that I want to use, basically the characterization of them is just profit seeking like money hungry bad people. Then there's one storyline of a young woman who gets caught up in being a pharmaceutical rep for Purdue Pharma and what that's like as far as being going into these doctor's offices and pushing this thing and being a cute young girl and how you're supposed to talk to these doctors. And then there's a story of a guy who got hurt and got addicted and what that looks like and how his stepson then can take the pills and like given to his friends and how that starts going. But I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Who do you blame for the opioid crisis? We got Brian on McGuanago on the phone.
Hello.
Hello, Brian. Who do you blame for the opioid crisis when you think of it?
I mean, we got the usual ones like, of course, the pharmaceuticals and whatnot, but I actually blame Citizens United and the fact that there's money in politics and there's lobbyists that kept paying for this to just continue on. And that's what opened the door for the money to keep flowing in to where they were, you know, paying off doctors to keep writing the prescriptions and also the illicit market to basically proliferate from it at the same time. So I think it comes down to Citizens United and money and politics.
That's interesting. So does it not the pharmaceutical companies?
Oh, I still absolutely blame them. They profited off of that, but they also use that money to keep politicians doing things that they want doing that doesn't help the, you know, the public. It helps their bottom line.
Yeah. When
they don't care.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say the pharmaceutical companies are absolutely responsible and should be blamed for it because they don't care how many lives they ruin or end as long as they make a dollar. That's all that matters to them.
Yeah.
So they don't, as far as I'm concerned, these pharmaceutical companies or these people that run them are no longer human. They don't have an ounce of empathy or caring or compassion in their bodies. And I would say souls, but I don't think they have those anymore.
And so, when you think about this, does the Mexican drug cartels or U.S. drug users or like, do any of the foreign entities pop in your mind as people to blame?
Depends. I mean, if anyone's working to profit off of it, then yeah. If there's any type of company or entity that's working to help people, then, you know, and possibly made not a great product that caused more harm than good. If they stopped doing anything to cause, you know, stopped what they were doing that was causing harm, then sure, I'd be all for it. But it doesn't look like anyone cared about any of the harm they caused because they were just getting rich. They were too busy getting rich.
Got it. Thanks so much for the call, Brian.
Richer.
Richer. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Karina from Milwaukee.
Good morning. I think there's three factors, and I'm coming from healthcare, and I worked with a lot of mental health, and obviously doctors and everything like that. And when the healthcare of 1996, we had a grade from a smiley face to the sad face from 1 to 10. And this is how opiates started. It was down to a doctor to say, this is wrong to treat and diagnose person while they are in the scorching pain. So taking care of the pain first. And this is what we did. We're taking care of the pain as the doctors and decrease the pain from 10.7 to 4.5. Then the next step, which is logical step, to do the diagnostics and testing. And when we would start asking for MRIs and biopsies and things like that, we've been told by the insurance companies that the people do not have that much pain, so why do you need such expensive procedures? There's nothing wrong going on. They just have to wait until the pain is going to go away, and here you go. You have an opiate. This is how it started, okay? So now the production of the opiates, actually the opiates who are on the street, which are on the streets, yes, they're coming from the Mexico because it's a border, but who's producing? The producer of the opiates is actually China. Always been from the British time, British Empire. Yes, it's illegal in China. They cannot use it, but nobody say that they cannot produce it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, got it. Karina, we got to go to a break, so I got to cut you off. Oh, sorry, Karina. We'll come back on the other side. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Who do you blame for the opioid crisis? I was very surprised by this poll number as far as how many people blame the Mexican drug cartel and not pharmaceutical companies. So we'll keep talking about this after the break. Tanya Atkinson is going to be here at 10:30, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few showers, maybe a rumble of thunder in the overnight. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies developing, 55 degrees and a light southeast wind. A mix of clouds and sunshine Tuesday, high of 75. Could have a couple more showers Tuesday night. Otherwise, a few clouds and 57. It's 60 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. We are, we're 1 week out. 1 week out till baby. Baby BS comes. And so we have a full week of shows. Super excited about it. Full day today. And right now we are talking about, who do you blame for the opioid crisis? Because I saw a poll that really shocked me today that says Americans most often blame Mexican drug cartels for the country's opioid crisis, followed by drug users themselves, according to Morning Consult polling data provided exclusively to Axios. And that's where I got this morning. So in order of this, it was surveyed almost 2,000 people. This was conducted between August 29th and September 1st. At 56%, Americans blame Mexican drug cartels. Then U.S. drug users at 53%, Chinese suppliers of fentanyl or its ingredients, then the Mexican government, then the U.S. government, then the Chinese government, and then pharmaceutical companies. And that just shocked me. And maybe it's because, as I said in the last segment, I just started watching Painkiller, which is the Netflix store version of Sackler and Purdue Pharma, which so squarely points the finger at that company and that family. And then the doctors who overprescribed. But it was so shocking to me that this is the order that, at least in this poll, where people place blame. And I think it's important to talk about because this is something that has affected so many people. So we're asking you, who do you blame for? Who do you blame the opioid crisis on? So let's go to Price in Texas. Price, what do you think?
Hey, good morning. I'll keep her quick. I know you got people waiting. And what you just said about that poll, I'm going to need to see the demographics. So like Greg said, did they just poll my uncles? Because this is just all that poll. I mean, there was top four: blame the drug cartels, blame the drug users, blame the Mexican government, blame the Chinese government. Like, those are the options. And if they're calling your basic Fox News viewer of someone who's going to pick up a landline, of course, that's what you're going to get, you know? So I would need to see the demographics on that poll, because just listening to those responses is just ludicrous. And I'll just get to what I blame the American healthcare system in general, because you don't have proactive you don't have proactive steps for pain control. You just have reactive steps for pain control. A lot of times you go to the doctor, this hurts, okay, prescribe this, and it ramps up from there. And you don't get, and also, you know, American drug policy, because there's a whole lot of potential help for painkillers out there that aren't as addictive, but the opiate, and from piggyback what Brian said, piggybacking off of him, yeah, you've got the drug companies and the pharmaceutical companies lobbying Congress to keep all these other possible solutions off the market or even getting tested. So that's all I had. But hey, that whole poll just seems sketch as heck to me, because I just don't, I need to see the demographics on that, because that's all basically something that someone's, like Greg said, someone's angry uncle would respond, how they would. Anyway, have a great day, everybody.
Thanks so much for the call, Price. That is true as far as who's picking up the phone for a call, for a poll like this. This is the methodology. This is what was listed as this survey was conducted August 29th to September 1st among a representative sample of 1,995 registered voters. Results from the full survey have an unweighted margin of error of plus and minus 2 percentage points. And that's at least the information given on the article that I read. But that doesn't give a lot more on what a representative sample actually looks like. But it's a good point. Question your polls.
Absolutely.
Question the methodology. Yeah. Question who funded it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't have to totally distrust polls, especially the Marquette poll, which is, we love the Marquette poll. We love Charles Franklin.
Hashtag Marquette poll for life. I mean, when Fox puts out a poll, I have a certain amount of doubt. When MSNBC puts out a poll, I have a certain amount of doubt. That's just how it is.
Absolutely. We have a text from John from the Falls.
John from the Falls said, good morning, everyone. I blame the pharmaceutical companies, the corporate lobbyists, and the politicians who sold their souls to these people. Unfortunately, a poll doesn't surprise me. I'm guessing they're polling the same people that would prefer a well-known classified document stealing race. It goes on for a while. Basically, John from the Falls blames who I think you and I put the blame towards. You know, it starts with the pharmaceutical companies. Then it goes down to, you know, the lobbyists and all those people who have the actual power. I don't put a lot of blame on Mexican cartels personally.
I don't either. And I think that's why this was so shocking to me. And basically what this is framed at is in the Axios article is how this is potentially an edge for the GOP going into next year, because it's potentially being able to frame this as a security issue.
It's border crisis.
It's foreign entities. It's things that we need to crack down on. Versus what our callers so far have said today is like, actually, it's big. It's capitalism. It's big pharma. It's giving your unlimited donations to political campaigns, and it's having politicians in your pockets. Like, it's a lot of stuff inside the house.
Yeah,
like the call is coming from inside the house, and maybe we should work on that before we're just like projecting blame onto foreign entities and just saying, oh well, if we would have just built that wall, this would have never happened. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and pull a quote from the playbook of the GOP. It is personal responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's actually a very good point, Greg. Personal responsibility. All right. Well, I think this is really fascinating as far as how people's... It goes kind of back to a lot of things as far as what people's perceptions are. I can't totally recommend painkillers yet because I'm only 2 episodes in.
Yeah.
I'm compelled by the first 2 episodes.
Okay.
But I don't know. I have to cross check and see how fictionalized it is first, and how much I should be like, this is what happened. Instead of, it's not a documentary. So, all right.
Look out for our podcast.
When we come back, Tanya Atkinson will be here from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She is the CEO and president. We will talk about their decision to reinstate abortion services as of today. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief, a U.S.-Iran prisoner swap included the release of billions of dollars of frozen Iranian money. BBC Persia correspondent Bahman Kalbasi says there will be restrictions on how Iran can spend that
money. Only to purchase food, agriculture products, and medical devices and medicines.
The United Auto Workers Union is preparing to cause automakers more pain, says UAW President Sean Fain.
A stand-up strike is a new approach to striking. Instead of striking all plants all at once, select locals will be called on to stand up and walk out on strike.
The Marine Corps will conduct a two-day stand-down for all of its aviation units after the crash of an F-35 fighter jet. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
This particular effort has been executed to ensure that a two-day discussion about safety measures and procedures are conducted.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And it is Monday, September 18th, and we are waiting for Tanya Atkinson to join us, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin CEO and president, because as of today, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion services in two different clinics, and they announced this last Thursday. Literally, they announced it last Thursday while we were live on air. And we have not had a chance to really break down what that means. And so we're excited to be able to talk to Tanya. But as far as understanding, my questions really surround the legal challenges as because the court case, the lawsuit that was filed, has not been decided on. And if we think about this from the standpoint of what Justice Janet Protasiewicz was a centerpiece of her campaign, us knowing that this lawsuit that had been filed is likely going to end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And so far, it actually hasn't even been finally ruled on in the Dane County court, Circuit Court. But what happened in June was basically, so June 2022, if you remember, Democratic Attorney General Josh Call brought a lawsuit to the Dane County Circuit Court challenging the 1849 law. That lawsuit sought to clarify whether the ban is still in effect and if it contends the abortion restrictions passed since Roe v. Wade superseded that 1849 law. So then the court case still currently is with Dane County Circuit Judge Diane Schlipper, and she issued an order suggesting that she believes the 1849 law applies only to, I actually don't know how to pronounce it,
Feticide. I think feticide.
Feticide, which is killing a fetus by assaulting and battering. So basically not having the mother's consent. And so but she hasn't actually ruled yet. That was just issuing an order back in early July. So then Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin officials said they recognized that this order isn't the final say, which is expected to be appealed once this kind of was like an indicator of where Shipler's going to rule. But then likely once her ruling comes down, that will be appealed and then go to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, where it will be finally finalized. So my question kind of becomes like, what does that mean for legal protections for the providers? For the providers, basically. Yeah. And so it's like they're obviously have talked to enough of their lawyers that this is going to be, they think that they're covered. They think that they're fully able to provide these resources these services, but it still feels like a very gray area to me.
When I saw the announcement, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. But my immediate response was like, how are they going to do it?
I mean, just
really going for it and providing the access and the care that that women need. But yeah, just at the end of the day saying, how do we know that they're just not going to bust through the door and start arresting everybody in the room?
This gets into the ability to think about what was also pretty contentious when Dobbs first came out and Roe first got overturned, is that you had certain district attorneys saying, we're not going to prioritize prosecuting this. And largely that's Dane County and Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
And so there's also that aspect of it. But basically, the laws that existed and the cases that it had been ruled on since that 1849 ban, which is ridiculous. Have I ever told you the story of when this first came down and I went to Old World, Wisconsin with Mike because I was doing like they were doing their like new beer. Like, this is how we used to make beer. Going there and I was making a video for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And then we like decided to actually hang out for a while.
Yeah.
And because it was my first time ever going to Old World, Wisconsin. And so we were there, I was on the hunt for, because all of the buildings at Old World, Wisconsin are excavated real buildings that existed. Yeah. And I was looking for a building that was older than this law. And I found one. And it was like a shack. And it was like a little like Norwegian one room farmhouse. And
that makes
sense. So yeah, it was like, this law is old. A lot has happened since then. I think that we have Tanya on the line. Tanya, are you there?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. And so anyway.
And so anyway.
Oh.
Oh.
That's a big echo. And so I thought I saw her join, and I'm not.
She looks to have joined. I don't
she
see.
She looks to have joined.
Her mic is muted. Oh.
Tanya, are you there?
Give me one sec. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Oh. Cannot hear her.
M&Ms.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Now we can hear you. Can you hear me? She cannot hear me. Tanya, why don't you call into the show?
Yep. Yeah, Tanya.
Can you hear Greg?
Can you hear me, Tanya?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you give her the number?
Okay, yeah. Tanya, give us a call at 844-967-2827. Sorry.
What was it?
844-967-2789. Give us a call and we'll get you on the phone line right away and we'll get this taken care of.
We're gonna get her on the phone. We'll probably keep her for the next segment.
Yeah.
We'll keep her for both segments because we're just this is so fun.
So fun.
So fun. And so it's just such a fun way to be doing all of this in my last week as far as. But what I was going to say is before Tanya joined in is that since the 1849 ban happened, there was two court cases that talked about this. In 1985, lawmakers passed a law that said abortion was only a crime after a fetus was viable, meaning there is a reasonable likelihood of sustained survival of the fetus outside the womb with or without artificial support. And that's where we had joined with the 20-week limitation. And then, but also in 1994, the Wisconsin Supreme Court case found that the 1849 law applied only to feticide, the killing of an unborn child, often violently without the mother's consent. And so we're trying again. Tanya, are you there?
Somebody else's M&Ms.
All right. I think I can hear you. How are we doing this? Tanya Atkinson, can you hear me?
We're doing this.
Yes.
Great. We got it figured out. Do you love technology, Tanya?
I do love technology, but technology didn't love me today. So
absolutely. It hasn't loved us for a couple days. So we are managing through though, but I'm so excited to see you. I'm so excited. This was big news. And so I have to imagine the last couple of days for you has been a whirlwind, but as far as kind of talk me through how long this has been in process and what were all the variables that you all considered as you decided to make this decision?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having us. And I'm really excited to see you as well. So, you know, when Roe was overturned, and I did hear you talking about this a little bit, when Roe was overturned, there was that 1849 law that was still on the books, and it was unclear whether or not it was enforceable. And so, you know, we made the incredibly difficult decision to suspend abortion services. And, you know, flash forward, you know, X number of months, you know, we contended all along that, you know, we made a commitment, first of all, to resuming abortion services as soon as we had clarity around the law. And there was two ways that we could have gotten clarity. One is through the legislature or through a legal path. Now, we know the legislature wasn't a path. So the focus was the legal path. When the attorney general filed his lawsuit and then the Dane County Circuit Judge ruled that the law was not enforceable, the 1849 law was not enforceable for voluntary abortions, you know, we immediately continued planning with that in mind. And then there was a second ruling in August where she reaffirmed and was crystal clear that this law wasn't applicable to voluntary abortions. So we kept that momentum going, working with, you know, legal teams and physicians and stakeholders, and then we're able to make the decision to start services today.
And so I guess the big question is, because I think the thing that everyone should know is no matter what, whether it was before you all made this decision and services were resuming today and going forward, an individual who is seeking an abortion cannot get charged in Wisconsin. That was never part of the deal. This was always whether or not providers could be charged. And so knowing that, and then knowing that there's this the lawsuit itself is still pending. What protections, I guess? Like, how are the providers who are going? Because we had Kristen Lierley, she's on every Thursday. And so she told me she's one of the people who was going to be a provider. And so it's like, what are the legal protections as far as the providers who are now stepping up and going to be the people who are resuming the services? Like, I get like the, what is the, what have your lawyers told you as far as like what that coverage looks like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the legal protection is that the judge has been very clear twice now that this is not enforceable. So, you know, that's the legal protection is that it's not enforceable for voluntary abortions. So that's, the judge could, you know, could not have been more clear. And in reaffirming that, she referenced the Supreme Court case from the 90s. So three times now, it's been very clear that this law is not enforceable. So that's, you know, that's the protection.
Got it. And so what do you think, like, I mean, obviously this is just starting today, but as far as the positive impacts that this is going to have on patients, that this is going to have on staff, what is the, I guess that's just the question. What are the positive impacts you foresee this having?
Well, as you know, abortion is health care, mm-hmm. and the people of Wisconsin will be able to receive abortion in their home state. You know, we've seen what's happened with the barriers that have been put up by having to travel to other states, by patients having to travel to other states, and the barriers are huge, and for some people, they're insurmountable. So so to be able to have this health care in, you know, people's backyard is, you know, is critical to receiving time-sensitive care that that really matters for people's health and lives.
And so one of the things about this, like we said, it's Madison and Milwaukee are the two places where this is getting resumed. That is a huge swath of Wisconsin that is not covered, but it also wasn't covered even before Dobbs. And so as you look forward into this lawsuit as it continues, but also the services as Planned Parenthood can provide, like what are the other services, initiatives that are happening to continue to try to serve the whole state as we navigate these waters?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. So we consider this a first step in both protecting access to abortion care, but also looking forward in the future to expanding access, because you are correct about access across the state. Even before Dobbs, for some people, abortion was very difficult to access with long travel times and with our 24-hour waiting period. So we are looking forward into the future about how to expand access. And I think it's important for people to know that though we're expanding access, we still have to comply with all of those restrictions that were in place before Dobbs. And Wisconsin has got one of the longest lists of abortion restrictions in the entire country. So in order to expand access, we really have to look at, what are ways that we can get rid of some of those restrictions so that we can reach a larger swath of the state.
Absolutely. We have to go to break. Tanya, can you stick around through the break?
Absolutely.
Great. All right. We will be back with Tanya Atkinson, who is the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few showers, maybe a rumble of thunder in the overnight. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies developing, 55 degrees and a light southeast wind. A mix of clouds and sunshine Tuesday, high of 75. Could have a couple more showers Tuesday night. Otherwise, a few clouds and 57. It's 60 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg back on the board, and we were talking to Tanya Atkinson, who is the Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin CEO and president. And today is a big day because after, what would it be, 14 months, 15 months of suspending abortion care when the Dobbs decision came out in June 2022, as of today, abortion services are resuming in Madison and Milwaukee at their two health centers, at Planned Parenthood's two health centers. Which, for many of us who know how important safe access to care is, this is a huge win. And I have to admit, you know, I am a week and a half away from giving birth, and it has been a weird.
I heard. Congratulations.
Thank you. It has been a weird time to be pregnant in this state, to have a wanted pregnancy in this state, let alone what I can imagine for women who have had unwanted pregnancies, or people who have had unwanted pregnancies over the last 14 months. Because as I asked my doctor at my 10-week check-in back in March, you know, what if something happens? And her answer was, we have a way to get to you to Chicago. And what a terrible response. I mean, not her response. That was the answer, right? But as far as, like, I won't be able to help you as your doctor, but I will find a way to get you help somewhere else. And so to know that we're marching back towards having safe access to care for everyone who needs it, no matter what, how they feel about their pregnancy, to me is a relief. And I can imagine, as someone like you who's dedicated their life to this and to providing care, it is a big win.
Thank you, Kristen. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing that story. And I think what you say really underscores, you know, the scope of you know, the potential restrictions, you know, not just in Wisconsin, but we're seeing across the country. As our, you know, doctors, you know, remind us on a regular basis, abortion is ending a pregnancy for whatever reason that pregnancy needs to be ended. And when, you know, we were forced to make that agonizing decision to suspend care, you know, people were, you know, very concerned about pregnancy, even if people were trying to get pregnant, really concerned about what that would mean, because as you know, pregnancy is extremely complicated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, abortion is a part of, you know, pregnancy overall and care, as, you know, you ask your doctor, you know, early on in your pregnancy, because you understood that pregnancies are complicated. And so I think that that's, you know, that that is really important to, you know, continue to remind people that this is not having access is dangerous. I think the other thing, you know, in your story is, you know, potentially how your doctor felt, you know, not being able, you know, if something, you know, were to have happened, being helpless to be able to provide you the care that you needed right in front of them, you know, when you are right there in their office. And we know, you know, from our own physicians and others having to send people out of state when they have the skill set to do that themselves. And the final thing I would lift up here is that, you know, almost immediately when Roe fell and the question of the 1849 law came up, people who were slated to come to Wisconsin medical schools were withdrawing their applications. Yep. Other students who are already here were questioning whether or not they, you know, they wanted to stay. And, you know, as you know, I mean, I'm also from rural Wisconsin, and, you know, it is really difficult to find OBGYNs yeah. or physicians at all. And not, of course, just in rural Wisconsin. Access is challenged everywhere when it comes to reproductive health care and, you know, OB-GYN, you know, providers. So this also has the effect of, you know, the chilling effect of people wanting to come to Wisconsin, you know, our incredible state, wanting to come to Wisconsin and be medical practitioners or staying in their home state and being, you know, being a OBGYN. So lots of really critical things wrapped up in your own personal experience in the story you shared. Thank you.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that is, it touches so many things. It touches so many things as far as healthcare, and it is so personal and it's so nuanced that it's very frustrating to continue to have the fight in Wisconsin, the fight nationally, of people who think they know best and know better than doctors and know better than the people who are trying to make decisions for their own lives. And so I guess my other question is, obviously Planned Parenthood is and has been a leader in safe and accessible care. Do you think that your decision, the Planned Parenthood's decision, not you, Tanya's decision, will empower other providers as far as their feeling as though they also, the law does cover them, and will also, there could be more places that feel like they can also resume abortion care?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. First, I think it's important for people to know that Planned Parenthood Wisconsin receives referrals from other health systems.
Okay.
And as of right now, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is the only provider of voluntary abortions.
Okay.
So, and all that said, you know, there are other incredible healthcare systems in the state, and we're really grateful for their partnership. They do provide care, as you know, in all the circumstances. Now, they also, as far as we know, have suspended their services, except for that very, very narrow exception. And so I can't really say at this time whether or not, you know, what that means for the other health systems. I can say that, you know, we have some great partnerships with the health systems, and they'll continue to be partners. But I definitely cannot speak to whether or not they're going to start providing care again.
Absolutely. And then the final reminder, we only have about a minute left, but because I will always think it's very important for everyone to know that Planned Parenthood has a wide variety of services that they offer. And so a quick plug for all the different things that people can go to Planned Parenthood for through the last 14 months going forward, as far as what people can rely on their local center for.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to first say, please go to www.ppwi.org, and you can find a list of all the services there. We have 22 health centers across the state, and we provide a very wide scope of reproductive and sexual health care services. Of course, birth control, STD testing and treatment, and a couple that I want to lift up is cancer screening, prevention, intervention, and gender-affirming hormone therapy. And we have most of our services are also available via telehealth, and for people who are contracepting, they can get it delivered right to their door for almost every single method.
Amazing. And under the time limit. Tanya Atkinson, you are amazing. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio
listening
station.
To 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire,
and streaming